for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 6th, 1998. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the teacher of the morning.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'd like two of you young whippersnappers to give me a hand with something here, right off the bat. All right, I got one. There he is. Now, I want every lady to have one of these. And if there's a husband here without his wife, I want him to have one. But I want the ladies to make sure they have one, okay? Now, if you ladies, and all of you, just give me attention for a second. And you might go back to reading the rest of that if you want to. It's time we come out of condemnation. It's time we come out of guilt. It's time we come out of shame and remorse.
Yes.
And we've got to do it, not only for you ladies, but for us men too. We are who God says we are, what God says we are, and we are where God says we are. It isn't what this thing up here says. It's what this says. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? Now, you ladies are women of worth. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. We men wouldn't be here. That's for sure. And every one of you ladies that your husband's not here, I'd like for you to show him this thing and ask him, tell him I said to get you a frame, a nice pretty frame to put it in. Okay? And if he doesn't like that, tell him come down to Florida and I'll hug his neck and tell him how much God loves him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we still got quite a few. So anybody wants an extra one, you know, you help yourself to it. That's all right, Jack. Just put them here on the chair. There they are. All right? Thank you, Lord. Now, I got something else here in a couple of minutes. Might as well get these ready. But now, we've been... This is a deliverance camp where you need... Where you know about, need to know about, and you learn about, and you get ministered to, and setting part of you free. Part of you, I said. All right? I want to talk about another part of you a little bit this morning. You know, when you get rid of something, you need something else to be put in its place. Because the Bible says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, it wandereth in dry places, seeking rest. Finding none, it returns to that house, and if it finds it swept and garnished and empty, what happens? It goes, gets seven more, and they come back, and the last day of that person's worse than the first. Now, I know some Christians, people that have become Christians, and then all of a sudden they wind up worse than they were to start with because they didn't put something in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. So we're going to talk about a little bit about who we are in Christ. And we're going to be ministering from the book of Ephesians, and in the book of Ephesians... The little word in, I-N, is mentioned over 20 times. John said in John 14:20, Jesus said in John 14:20, see, I'm kind of thirsty, I have four glasses. 14:20 says, at that day. Now, Jesus spoke those words on the backside of the cross or before he was crucified. And he's speaking of a time after he's crucified, after he's buried, resurrected, ascended to the Father, and returns as the Spirit of God himself on the day of Pentecost. And he says, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. All right? Now, let me give you a very simple illustration, Jack. Come up here. Hold that. And you hold that, and I'll hold this one. Okay? All right, let's just say that this is me, And this is Jesus, and this is the Father. All right? So what did Jesus say now? At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me. And then he says, I in you, that's all about it. Now watch this. This is me, okay? Now what's coming in here? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and me. And me, because this outer man, flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, okay? Only the spirit man can inherit God's kingdom. This old flesh and blood body can't do it. Okay?
Can't enter in.
Can't enter in. So now when I look at you, who do I see? Who do I see sitting there, Jack? That's right, and Jack. But I don't see Jack. I only see the house, that outer man that Jack, the true Jack, lives in. He is a spirit being. Now what does that tell us? That tells us that this thing up here is not the real me. The real me is the spirit being in down inside. And until I come to know God, until I am baptized in the Holy Ghost and get that inner witness, the power of God, this thing up here controls. Now, there was a guy here last night, a big black fellow. He was about 7 foot tall, looked like. And I was going to use him this morning. But just picture with it. Well, I need for you to see this. Jack, come up here again. Now, where's another tall guy? Come here, brother. You're pretty tall. Now, give me a little short guy. Bruce, come here.
Oh, yeah, but he made two of us.
Now let me get you in the middle here. Now each one of these is a little taller than the other. Okay? Not much, but just visualize something with me now. All right, to start with, before we know God, this is the spirit man.
I like that.
Okay. This is the spirit man.
It's gotta be the soul, right?
And here's the mental man, and here's the fleshly man. Okay? Now these two cannot inherit God's kingdom, but they're the ruling part. We better... Y'all pray for me, I'm free for all.
Well, I don't like that a bit. Liz, don't like that a bit.
But let me tell you, God's in control of this thing right now. Because that's what the flesh and the mind are doing always, warring against the spirit.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Why don't you just go...
These two parts here are the leaders in a person's life. You go by what your head says and your body follows through with it. You know, if it feels good, do it. Isn't that the attitude of the world? Okay. But then what happens after we get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Now, if you can again just visualize with me a little bit. We begin to study and meditate in the Word of God and God's power begins to flow in us. This man starts getting a little bit taller.
Oh, I like this.
And these two start shrinking down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, get down.
They just get right on down, 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 down. Now what is...
Ain't no drug.
Go ahead, guys, stand up. Now, what does the Bible say that we have to do? It says, crucify the old man. See, crucify him. God says, I want you to die. In the mind.
he's enjoyed us too much, man.
You better watch it. These guys ain't never going to speak to you again.
I wanted to shut up.
Now I'm about to forget where I was at. God wants this part of us to come to an end. We still exist, but we must be, again, as God says in His Word in Romans 12, He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present yourself a living sacrifice unto me, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when the mind is transformed, the mind is the sense realm. And if you'll learn to just write in your Bibles where it says flesh, put the word senses, and you'll get a better understanding of what's going on. But those senses control all of this man. See, my hand's not going to do anything. The flesh part of me is not going to do anything until it gets a signal from up here. There has to come something from this control center right here before this does anything. But the devil is so adept and so crafty at using these two parts to war against this part, which is made in God's image, to keep this part, this person, the true person, to keep him down, keep him under wraps. Don't let him get out, because he is to become like Jesus. Hallelujah. So then it simply comes down to obedience to the Word of God. Learning to recognize who we are in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the glory of God will be seen in the whole earth. And it will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Y'all can sit down. Thank you very much. I was standing on the beach at Lake Worth, Florida, about 20 years ago. Beautiful moonlight night. My wife and I were just kind of walking along, praising and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord just very clearly said to me, "Son, do you see any holes out there in that water?" And I stopped dead still and kind of thought about it a minute. And I'm used to God talking to me and sometimes speaking audibly to me, so it didn't, I wasn't all that shocked. And I said, "No, sir. I don't see any holes." He said, "Are you sure? Look again." So I looked and I said, "No, there's no holes out there. I'm come from the water. I know what the ocean's all about and tides and currents and so on." And he said, "Well, I just want you to make sure that you know that just as there are no holes out there and you can't see the bottom anywhere, my glory will cover the earth." It will do it. But it has to start with this earth first. This little bit right here. God's glory must cover this little bit of earth. And I must do what the Word of God says. I must bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture in Ephesians that God has indelibly written on the doorpost of my heart. And that's Ephesians 4:29. And it says this, in the King James, it says, "Let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer." Who's the first person to hear what comes to your mind? Because before it comes out of your mouth, it has to come to your mind. A thought is an unspoken word. How many of you have been in churches and the pastor says, "Any unspoken prayers here tonight?" I've heard it many times. A thought is an unspoken word. If those thoughts that come to your mind, which are in reality words that just sometimes are not spoken and sometimes they are and we shouldn't, but if those thoughts don't minister grace to you to start with, you can know they don't come from God. Because God's not in the position and in that place of speaking to us something that's going to be degrading or harmful to us in any way whatsoever. He's a God of love, but He's also a God of chastisement, and He's a God of judgment. But all of His ways are righteousness and truth.
Yes.
Amen? So if something comes to my mind, and it doesn't first of all minister grace to me, what do I do with it? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Hallelujah. You either conquer your mind or the devil will conquer you. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil." He didn't say some, did he?
No.
All the power of the devil. That means that God has given to us power over all the spirits of hell and their multiplied myriads of demon powers and all everything that you can name, put a name to that's negative, you can bet your last dollar somewhere there's a spirit behind it, either in you or around you or in somebody else. Jesus said, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But then he made another statement. He said, in this don't rejoice, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. That your names are written. We need to know who we are in Christ. All right? Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, glory. In Jesus. The word Jesus there, if some of you are wanting to write some of this stuff down, the name Jesus as an acrostic that really helps me a lot is justified, entrance, saved, unto service. That's Jesus. Justified, entrance, saved, unto service. Okay, so I'll just be a servant of the Lord. No, God doesn't want you to be a servant. Uh-oh, now I'm getting meddling or stepping on somebody's toes. Because a servant is still under tutors. A servant is still under masters. He's like a child. He needs more ministering. But God wants you to become friends. God wants you to grow up. Oh, I'm just a child of the King. Well, it's one thing to become a child and become a Christian. But let me ask you something. Jack, you were just singing about your son there. After 5 years, if that baby, if that little five-year-old, if he still was just crawling around and had learned to walk, before then you'd begin to think something's got to be done here, something wrong. And isn't it amazing that God looks down on his children, his people, and he sees so many that are 10, 15, 20 years old, 30 years old, and some 40 or 50 years old still in diapers. And God says, hey, how about growing up and taking some responsibility? How about being willing to suffer like I did? Uh-oh. Oh, but God, you're a God of love, and you did all the suffering, and I don't have to do any. I just want to float around and wait for that pie in the sky by and by. Let me tell you something. God's kingdom is here, folks. And you're going to press into it one way or another. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is within us. It's among us. I don't have to die to go anywhere because I've already died. Now, wait a minute, Brother George. You're standing up there talking to us. Well, this flesh and blood body is being used by me, the spirit man, but as far as the spirit man and Jesus is concerned, I've laid this old thing down and said, okay, God, you know, it's yours now. So you go ahead and do with it what you want to, and there come a time when the battle was fighting, and God says, okay, I want you to stand up now. I want to stand you up and give you some good life, and I want you to go and talk about me. So here I am. Hallelujah. Now, if I had my way about it, like the old man that I used to be, then I'd be back in Florida and probably out fishing today. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, or the book of Ephesians, is our bank account in Jesus, and it contains for us adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, inheritance, the seal of the Holy Ghost, life, grace, and citizenship. Boy, that's quite a lot that we have, isn't it? We have all those things, folks, now.
Yes.
Now.
Amen.
Now. Now is the day of salvation. Today is accepted time. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. When the people tempted God and what happened to them and all of that. And the same thing is happening today. There's so many Christians that are not entering into the promised land that God's given to us. But they're still floundering and floundering. And that mindset is, well, if I can just hang on, maybe someday, you know, when this old body dies, I'll make it in. No, get rid of that mindset. Enter into that place of today. Today. Enter in and begin to enjoy the Christian life that's really ours. There's around 7,000 promises scattered out throughout the Bible for every believer. But you have to take those promises, you have to get a hold of them, and you've got to tell the devil, no, get off, it's mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 1. The believer is in Christ. In Christ. All right? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. If I walk up to any of you, I'll use Jack again as a guinea pig here. Jack, if I walk up to you and say, hey, brother, are you a Christian? What are you going to tell me? Yeah. Well, brother, what church do you belong to? You walk up to me and ask me that, and I'll look at you and straighten the face and say, I am the church. I am the church. You want to come to church? All right, let's sit down and talk a little bit. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. Don't you go to church? Well, there's a little fellowship of believers that I go to, and in obedience to the Word of God, that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But I don't belong to any organization as such. I don't belong to nobody but Jesus Christ. I've sold out lock, stock, gun, barrel, and all the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in Christ Jesus. And in Jesus, what is it? It's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy is in Jesus. So now, if you don't have fullness of joy, what do? You better stand up in front of the mirror and say, hey, where are you missing it there, person? What part of you doesn't have the joy? And if it doesn't have the joy of the Lord, then who has that part of you, see? That's the reason this camp meeting's here. It's to get out of you that which doesn't create joy. And it's to teach and instruct you so that you, when you return to wherever you come from, little by little by little, you can begin to help others get to the same place you're coming to. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God. Hallelujah. All right? In verse 3, it says, in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. So I say, well, don't say a word now. I'll say for you. But I say, Brother Jack, where are you from? Now, in the natural, he's going to tell me that he's from wherever he lives. But in the spirit, what is he going to say? Jack, where are you from? Well, the answer comes, I'm from heaven. I'm from the land of promise. I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. I have been, past tense, translated out of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. And I have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. I have been. Well, but now, wait a minute. We see you standing up there. No, you see this body. But the real me, the spirit me, is joined to God. So everywhere I go, God goes. And everywhere God goes, I go. Because we're inseparable. I've been joined to Him. Amen? Glory to God. Not one of us are here just because we floundered around and, you know, one day we found, well, look at there. There's Lake Camp Lake Hamilton. You know, well, I wonder how we got here. We're here by God's divine appointment, leading us, drawing us in our spirit, and giving us some directions with this thing here. And so the next thing you know, we either get on planes or drive or come by bus or whatever, but here we are. Hallelujah. By design, yes, by divine appointment, today we're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's simply because all of us want to know a little bit more about the kingdom of God, about who we are, about what God wants us to do, and so on. We've come to grow a little. To grow a little. Hallelujah. But we're not to stay where we are now. We don't need to become stagnant. Amen. What causes us to become stagnant? This thing right here gets in the way, and we start being like the children of Israel. We start, God's brought us out to bring us in. Most of us get out, but then somehow or other we lose the way to get in. And again, that's the reason that God has brought this place about, thanks to Irma and Glenn and all of the work that they put into this place along with others. And the power of God, the presence of God, the provision of God, this place is here. And God says, oh, people, I want to bring you in. I want to bring you right into myself.
Yes. Yes.
That wherever you go, I can go. But I want you to understand and recognize that very principle. That it doesn't make any difference what this thing up here says. Not a bit whatsoever. This is not me. But thank God I'm learning how to use this control center here for the glory of God and not the glory of the devil. Hallelujah. So little by little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, God's teaching and instructing us in the way that we should go. There's a big, big play of the enemy to draw us away from Almighty God in so many different ways. In this day and time, so we've got to be doubly on our toes not to be deceived. The devil is trying his utmost to bring about passivity and compromise. He's working overtime. But the name of the game for us today is confrontation. And if we don't learn to confront the enemy and stand up and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'll be trampled on. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you know that we have been chosen in Him? Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. How can you be holy in this world today? How can we be without blame in this world today with all of its stuff? We simply turn to God with everything within us. And we do what the Word says, people. If Jesus said that He gives to us power over all the power of the devil, do you think He meant what He said? Yes. How did Jesus defeat the devil? When He was tempted? It is written. Do you know the devil knows that? He says, oh, really? Well, let me see now. What kind of a scheme can I... Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll bring out some different translations. There are over 300 different translations of the Bible. A word left out here. A verse left out there. A little bit different wording over here. The next thing you know, you've got nothing but a bunch of confusion. I suggest we all get back to the very basic and we get us an old King James Bible and say, that's it. I don't know if Glenn has still got some tapes here about that I brought up about this New Age stuff. Last 4th of July I brought it, didn't I, Glenn? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will make you... Is that what it said? Free. I like freedom. How about you? Harry Greenwood. You ever heard of him? Anybody ever heard of Harry Greenwood? No? Was an Englishman that wrote some little books about being a prisoner. And the front cover was one. Here's a Christian, and he's looking through bars. He's in prison. And behind him, the doors open, and the shadow of the cross is there on the floor. The way of the cross leads home. So as long as a person's going to listen to his head and listen to what his mind says, he's going to be in prison. He's going to be in prison. He's going to look through the glass darkly. But if he'll turn around and put his eyes on the Word of God and say, God, what do you say? Never mind what this thing says. What do you say, God?
Right.
Next thing you know, he's turned around and he's walking out and into freedom. And oh, hallelujah, there's so much that's bubbling up within me, and I know I can't get it all out this time. I'll try to stick here to this few notes that I got. Verse 5 says, adopted in Christ. You know, we've all been adopted. Hallelujah. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will is that we become like Jesus, that we imitate him, that we learn to walk like he walked, talk like he talked, and so on. That talks, what tells us about that in the little book of 1 John. 123 times in 1 John, the five chapters there, it talks about love, loved, loveth, loving. And once we begin to get free of all the animosity and the garbage within us, then the love of God can flow. And we'll stop trying to defend ourselves in any way when somebody says something bad about us, husband or wife. We just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord. Oh, you don't like what I said there, sister? Well, you know, bless you anyhow. Praise the Lord. But as long as there's something that you sense something want to rise up and you want to flash back at that, whatever might be said or whatever, the look somebody give you, something or other. You're out there driving and somebody pulls in front of you and something rises up within you and you want to, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Then you need to get rid of that garbage. You're not dead to self yet. It's an ongoing battle. An ongoing battle. And as long as we're in these old fleshly bodies with this thing up here, this is the only place the devil can really come at us. Fiery darts. We need desperately to have on that salvation, that helmet of salvation, which is the mind renewed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right, in verse 6 it says, in the beloved, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All of this is pointing to the very purpose and reason for God bringing Jesus into the earth and for Jesus becoming the substitute for us, taking all of our sins and all of the garbage on himself so that we could come to Jesus now on this side of the cross and that we could enter into him and leave all that stuff behind. Take our position with him, seated in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Out of darkness and into his kingdom. Into his kingdom, I said. Now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the beloved. Glory to God. Verse 7. Redeemed in him. In whom? Who? Jesus. We have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. The forgiveness of our sins. According to the riches of his grace. How rich is your God? My God's extremely rich. He is all love. He is all peace. He is all joy. He's all of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He's all of that. And he wants to lavish it upon us. But he says, you've got to turn loose of what you have. Just make up your mind that you don't want that garbage you got. Ill will, strife, enmity, jealousy, factions, and all of the negative words that, you know, there's just a long list of them. So you don't need that stuff.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What happens if you're doing something and working in the yard, or maybe men working on a car or something, and you get your clothes all greasy and dirty, dirty, dirty. What are you going to do with them? You know, you just bought that good brand new pair of work pants, and you got it grease and stuff on it, and you're going to look at it, and I'll throw these in the garbage. No, you don't do that. You put them in the washing machine. You put some detergent in there, and you turn that thing on, and let it swish, and clean them out. And that's the way God wants to do with us. He wants us to put us in the Holy Ghost washing machine and switch us around a little bit. And he says, I want to take a whole bunch of the Word as my detergent, and I want to put it in there with you. And he says, I'm really going to turn you one right side from wrong side and outside and inside and all of that. But he said, I want you to come out clean. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that anointing, God. Hallelujah. Redeemed in him, 1:7. All right. 1:11 says, given an inheritance in him. Oh, you mean we got an inheritance? Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Again, the word predestinated, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. When Jesus died on the cross, did he die, give his life, shed his blood, and go through all of that stuff just for a select few? He bought everybody, even in the past. He bought them from right on then through eternity. He bought everybody back from the curse that the first Adam had put us under.
Yes.
He bought us with the price of his life.
Yes.
And on this side of the cross, we are to enjoy our inheritance in him.
Yes.
Of having dominion over everything. And that dominion means, first of all, you learn how to control yourself. Because in Proverbs it says, he that hath no control over his own spirit is like a city whose walls are broken down. In other words, any and everything can rush through there. And I will say this without reservation. Today, in my walk with the Lord and getting myself somewhat clean and free, you could make sure that I couldn't hear anything, put a blindfold over me and stop my nose so I couldn't smell anything, and then take me and put me in one of these dimly lighted taverns and so on, and just give me there just a few seconds and I'll tell you just about where I'm at. Because I can sense and feel that darkness. Hallelujah. I could share some testimonies of coming in contact with people, and I had demons speak out of one person at one time, and they said, oh, we know who you are. Because I'd simply said my name, that's all. We know who you are, and took off running for the car. I want every devil in hell to know who I am. More than that, I want him to know that I'm in Christ, and that the Christ that lives within me has already defeated him totally. Hallelujah. That's good news, folks. The greater one lives in me. Glory to God. Okay, verse 12 says that we are given hope in him, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. There are three key words given to us in the Bible where God promises a tremendous amount. And those three key words are trust, delight, and commit, found in Psalm 37, verses 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your being, and lean not to your own understanding, you know, something like that. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way unto him. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass.
Amen.
That's how much God loves us. He wants to bless us. But it's only through faith, in faith, and by faith that we're going to receive from God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So what's the key there? Diligently seeking the Lord. Well, now, wait a minute, God. You know, after all, I have to watch John's cousin's other aunt's uncle on, you know. I've been just watching this program. I can't miss a chapter of this thing now, you know. Oh, but God, the Baltimore Colts are going to play the whatever, and I can't miss that game today, God. You know, it's amazing how subtle the enemy can be in sneaking up and getting us caught up into something. And we think we've just got to have it. Folks, that's idolatry. Idolatry. And we can't be idol worshipers in any sense of the word. I mean, a few years ago, when football season was on, if any time there was a football game playing, if you wanted to find me, just go where there was a television set and I'd be there. No more. If I go somewhere and somebody's watching a television set, a football game, I'll watch it for a while. But I certainly ain't going to be caught up and think I've got to have that. All right, verse 13 talks about being sealed. Sealed in him. That's where I want you to remember that those three glasses and how that water, you know, and if you took that water that's in this glass and this and said, now, okay, I'll pour it all together here. Now, I'm going to take this same exact little bit of water. I'm going to take it out of this glass, put it back in here. It'll be the same. No, it won't either. Because you pour that water together and it mixes so you can't tell it apart. Even if you put it under a microscope, the molecular structure of it would be the same, so you couldn't say, well, now I'll take this part, and that's me, and I'll take this part, and so on. No, you can't do that. We need to come to such a place of being communed and committed to God and joined to Him, so when the devil looks at us, he don't see us, he sees Jesus. If there's any fear, if there's any fear at all that rises up in us in a situation where we are facing some kind of evil, that very fear comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. There is no fear in God. God is love, and in love there is no fear, because perfect love casteth out all fear. Hallelujah. Again, that's the good part of something. I wish we had one of these campgrounds like this in Florida somewhere. Glory to God. Sealed in Him, 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Joined to the Lord. Joined to God. You know, sealed. Oh, brother, I don't feel saved. Who said you had to feel like it? Who said you had to feel like it? Well, now, Brother George, you know that. You know what I saw that person doing the other day? Boy, I tell you what. He's backsliding. He's back. He's just gone back, and he's going straight to hell. What about the scripture that says where Paul turned so-and-so over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved? And I've thought of that so many times. If I saw that person and the fleshly man being destroyed, if I saw that, I would swear he's going to hell. If I didn't know that there's a spirit down inside there and God's dealing with that spirit man, this old outer man cannot inherit the kingdom of God to start with, so why not? Okay, Satan, go ahead and tear his flesh to pieces. He wants to, you know, get a hold of that mind, tear it up. I got the Spirit, I'm sealed with God, and you're not going to get the Spirit. Hallelujah. But God doesn't want us to give a place to the devil. He wants us to become made whole, spirit, soul, and body, so that we can be walking epistles read of all men, so that others may see not the gloom and doom on our countenance, but the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the reason I like to sing a little bitty chorus that I wrote some years ago. Maybe Jack will take this and put it on tape. Well, if he sang it up there with him and Carol with the music, we'd all jump up and shout. But it goes like this, and I was in a halfway house when the Lord gave this little thing to me about 29 years ago. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus saved my soul. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I took the word of God, tore the devil apart. And I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. Oh, yes! That's because I began to learn who I was in Christ. Now I got a job for you guys again. Jack, you come back just in time. I want everybody to have a copy of this. Oh, yes. Study these things. Look them up in your Bible. This is who you are. Well, while they're handing them out, I'll sing you all another, of course. I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Some people say, oh, I'm just so bored. I said, you don't look like a piece of a tree to me. Oh, but Brother George, I'm just so bored. I guarantee you one thing, you sit that bored person down in front of a television and turn anything on, they won't be bored. Bring them in here and let the Word of God start coming. Oh, I'm so bored. Well, get that spirit of boredom out of you. Get some excitement inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got a few of these left too, huh? All right. I'm going to put these right up here with the rest of it. Now, if you all want to give one to somebody. Here they are. I got a master sheet. I can get some more copies made. But now listen, do yourself a favor. Look these scriptures up in the Bible. Highlight them. And disciple yourself and tell yourself, I am. I am. Because you're joined to the I am. And there'll never be no other.
Amen.
He is the I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And he wants you to become so like him that every day will be full of the joy of the Lord. Somebody come up with an acrostic for the word joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. It works. It works. Jesus first, yourself, others second, yourself last. J-O-Y. How come it works? Because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, for by giving you do receive. Everything that God gives you, he doesn't give it to you to keep. He gives it to you to give away. What did you want to do that for? Well, if I give it away, then I... Oh, yes, you will. If you give it away, he'll give you more.
Amen. Right.
It works. Try it. I've been trying to give what you know all that God's given to me over the years. I've been trying to give it away, and I can't do it. It just keeps getting more and more and more. And if I don't give a chance, get a chance to give it away, man, I just... get miserable. You see... Oh, never mind. Oh, hallelujah. You got a few more minutes here. Let me go on quickly. Okay. Sealed in him. All right. Made alive together with Christ. Chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm not hitting all of these, just some. Chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And let's read verse 6. And hath raised us up together. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, but Brother George, I just feel so earthbound. Stop going by your feelings. Crucify them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think I would probably get a hand raised or an amen if I said, how many of y'all really believe the Bible? I believe all of us do that. All of us do that. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God says to call those things which are not as if they were. Oh, Brother Jack, you don't look so good this morning. You must feel awfully bad. Brother Jack just breaks out in a smile. He says, I don't care what I look like. I feel great. Bless God, I got the victory. I'm walking in Jesus. And the old body says, oh, you are. And about that time, it kind of weakens and you want to sit down, you know. And the devil comes along and says, you're lying. You know how you feel. You know you feel terrible. You're lying. You have a position in Jesus that the people that don't know God don't have.
Amen.
You're learning to crucify this I don't feel good attitude. You're learning to put that down. Listen, I'll just share this quickly. Yesterday morning, day before yesterday, I shared some things with some folks and just stomped on the devil's tail good. And I got a counterattack. Night before last. And yesterday morning at 3 o'clock, I awakened and I was so sick I couldn't hardly hold my head up. And I sit there and the thoughts are coming. I need to call Brother Glenn or Brother Tommy and get him to take me over to the hospital in the emergency room. My sake's alive. This is terrible, you know. Now, those are the thoughts that come into my mind. So I just get my Bible and turn it out and turn to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Fought the good fight of faith. Just kept hanging in there. Finally, I came over here at God's timing. I just made it and walked on over here, and I met Jack and Tommy right back there. Tommy said, and I don't know what kind of words were spoken, but anyhow, Tommy says, let's pray for him. And him and Jack prayed for me, and from that moment on, I began to progress right out of that trap. Hallelujah. The next thing I know, I got a good rub down in that area in my back that's been giving me so much trouble by my brother Bruce Miller here. And Brother Glenn got in that a little bit, and Brother John Musgrove back there was a prayer warrior with us, and I tell you, we stomped on the devil some more. So I feel better all over, more than anywhere else. Hallelujah. Made alive together with Christ. All right, how about being raised and seated with Him? 2 verse 6. We just read that. All right. Let's look at verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. For we are His workmanship. Hey, does God make anything junky? Glory. Well, God, you didn't get enough screws in that thing. It's falling apart. Well, God, that cut isn't straight there. Hey, God knew exactly what He was doing with every one of us. Every one of us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've been ordained to walk in good works. We've been ordained to have the authority over all the power of the devil. We've been ordained to have the right and the ability to put on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. We've been ordained to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. We've been ordained to walk in victory, not defeat.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, chapter 2, verse 13, we've been brought near by His blood. But now in Christ Jesus, little word in again, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I don't think we really have comprehended it yet, what it means really to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But the Lord showed me it's just like a human being who is getting low in their blood supply. They get a transfusion. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost is to get a transfusion of the very blood of Jesus Christ in that supernatural way, the power of God, the very life of God. The life is in the blood.
Yes.
To get that supernatural anointing.
Yes.
Life from God.
Yes.
And so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Hallelujah. I walked too many years as a religious, dead, deceived person. Glory to God. All right, very quickly. Brought near by His blood, 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. All right, growing in Christ, 2:21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We are all part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And when any one of us have a problem, we're all to shed a tear. We're all of us to be willing to bear one another's burdens. I heard a testimony one time years ago that there was a person that was having a very, very hard struggle. And they were testifying to this thing at a given place at a given time. And a person says, you know, begin to listen. And at that particular time, this person in another part of the world was awakened and told to get out of bed and get on their knees and intercede in the Spirit. And the quickening power of God told the two of them that was, and God brought the two of them together. This one had a problem, and this one was awakened somewhere else in the world to pray. Intercede for that person. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. Hallelujah. Okay? Two more. A partaker of the promised of in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Is God a respecter of persons? Can anybody, anywhere, come to God?
Yes.
Amen. Whether he be Jew or Gentile, black, red, green, yellow, doesn't make any difference. Hallelujah. And we are given access through faith in Him. That's 3:12. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't live by my faith.
Amen.
My faith's not good enough.
Right.
It's not big enough. I'm still conquering this thing and bringing all of this into line. But I have the greater one joined with me.
Amen.
And his faith, just like yesterday morning, it was that quickening power of God, that faith and the Word, the Spirit and the Word bear witness together. If I hadn't have been in the Word, I'd have wound up listening to this. But I had to put this and just overshadow those other thoughts and feelings and put the Word on. I was washed by the water of the Word, and I was brought to that place of just simply submitting to God. And you know what? There was not a bit of fear, not a bit of fear at all. Just a simple trust that God was going to bring me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, in that time when he said, okay, let us go to the other side, you know. Remember him getting in the boat with the disciples. And he, you know, he knows what's going on. He knows everything's going to be all right. So he lays down and goes to sleep. Well, the devil brings a storm up. And what happened to the disciples? Their eyes got on the storm. What's that tell us? How many times do our eyes get on the problem? See?
Yeah.
The circumstance, the situation.
Amen.
See? But what did Jesus, what had he said? He said, let us go to the other side. What has God said to us today? He says, hey, let us go on into perfection. Let us go on into maturity. Let us walk victoriously because we're more than conquerors. See? And all of a sudden, some kind of a circumstance or situation come up, and our eyes get off of that, and it gets on that. And then we walk around in a circle. Is it any wonder the Israelite nation had to go around in the wilderness for 40 years? God, you know, may God help us not to go around the wilderness for 40 days. Hallelujah. But here's what would have happened if those disciples would have just looked at that storm and said, hey, the master is asleep down there, and he has said, let us go to the other side. Now, storm, you can either quiet down and forget it, or you can rage and sink the boat. We're going to cling to it because the master's in the boat, and we're going to the other side, either on top of the water, the problem, or under it. Doesn't make any difference, but we're going to win.
Uh-huh.
We're going to the other side.
Hallelujah.
We need to come to that place.
Yes.
Don't care what the problem is. Live or die, sink or swim, it doesn't make any difference. In Jesus, there's victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. Oh, now, wait a minute, Brother George. Why, you know, after all, I would put it this way. I'm going back to Florida after this camp meeting's over. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. The plane might crash. Who cares? I'm going to Florida. And I got news for you. That plane ain't going to crash because God's not through with me yet. There was Kermit Bradford, a judge in Atlanta, Georgia. He'd done a lot of travel. He traveled way over a million miles to places and sharing his testimony and talking about Jesus. And he's flying somewhere, and the big storm raging, and they told him, he said, come on a loudspeaker, and said, well, we're going to be rather late for this landing. Said, there's a storm in the area, and we're just not going to make it right on time. Kermit called the stewardess back there, and he said, you go tell the pilot that we'll land on time. I have never been late where God's called me to share the Word of God. We'll land on time. And she went and told the captain. And sure enough, as he began to pray, and he said, God, he said, you know, I'm yours. And he says, I don't think you want to be late. If I'm late, then you're late, because I'm going to talk about you. So now, Father God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you clear that section out and all of, you know. So all of a sudden, the captain comes on and said, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, things have changed. We're going to land on time. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Well, can I get you all to stand to your feet for a moment before we dismiss here and go have some lunch? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just pray that where all of those demons have left, whoever of you, that this word has taken its place. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Say this with me. And I'll be an agreeing partner with each one of you. And the Word says if two of us agree on earth as to touching anything that we ask of the Father, it'll be done. So say this with me, Lord Jesus.
I am determined.
I've made up my mind.
I've set my mind.
I've surrendered my will.
To you, O God.
And I will
be victorious.
I will
walk in victory.
I will Do what your word says to do.
I will
crucify the old man
with its affections and lust.
I refuse
as of this day
and this time
to be intimidated,
to be made a fool of
by the devil
anymore.
Because I
am
what God says I am,
and that's the way it's
going to be.
And God says
I'm a victor.
So, devil,
you might as well
forget it.
You might as well
leave my presence.
You might as well
get back down under my
feet where you belong.
And
even lower than that.
Because
I'm seated in heavenly
places
with the Lord Jesus
Christ.
And you've
been kicked out of heaven.
So go.
In Jesus'
name.
Lord Jesus,
I take my
place
with you
in the
heavenlies.
And I
thank you, O God,
for
causing me
to becoming
a more responsible
Christian,
for causing
me
to grow up
to
become a mature,
responsible
citizen
of the kingdom
of God.
In Jesus'
name,
I declare it
to be so.
I decree
it to be so.
Amen.
It's yours.
It's yours.
Rejoice
in the Lord.
Give him the
glory.
Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is
www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
and
LHBCOnline.com.
There are many
free audio files
there.
It's like going to
Bible school at home.
Thank you.